Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Scaling Wellness. Today, I am going to be talking to you about some things that might be a little challenging for you to hear. So I'm going to be laying out five hard truths. I did a post on Instagram last week and it was talking about the challenges of growing a digital business. In fact, you know, the challenges of growing any business. I think there's something about the wellness space because the people that have succeeded really obviously are so visual that it can lead us to believe that this is luck, or it's easy to get to that point, or that it's fast. You know, we only see the kind of the after, we only see the wins. What we don't see in people's journeys is the whole series of events that lead up to getting these big wins. And I think when I look at my members and the brilliant wellness businesses that I work with, what I see is people doing the work. So we see behind the scenes, we see the struggle, we see the push, we see the challenges. And I think from their perspective, sometimes they're looking on, you know, social media and seeing all these wins around them and thinking, well, is this taking too long? You know, am I not doing it right? Should I be getting, you know, 10K months, you know, within a month of launching my product? And actually what I know to be true is that this is a process. Building takes time. It takes consistency. It takes effort. It takes strategy. It takes mental resilience. There are so many things that you are going to have to overcome in order to build a business that really does what you need it to do. It's not an overnight fix. It's not a quick strategy. There is no escaping the work, right? So I think that's kind of where I want to start. And I'm going to go through five hard truths that you guys, if you want to build businesses in wellness that operate online, that can take away that revenue cap that you have when you're working time for money or one-to-one or one to small groups, if you want to be able to operate your wellness business from anywhere at any time, you know, work from a beach in Bali, or, you know, travel with your family, or take months off at a time, if you want that kind of level of freedom, it's not going to come and be handed to you. It's not going to be on a silver platter. There is going to be work to do to get you there. And that work is not going to be a month or 6 weeks. It's going to be potentially a few years of growing and grinding and building this thing. Because the benefits, nothing worth having comes easy. Now, that said, I don't want to make this a really doom and gloom episode, because I think it's really important that we recognize that there are massive wins to be had along the way. And we need to make sure that we are noticing those and looking out for all the good stuff that's happening, the people we're helping, the growth that we do experience. You know, one of my clients last week is working with, she's working in the coaching space, and she wanted to sell her coaching package for £1,200, and she's discounting it at the moment to £800, and she's feeling like a failure because she's discounting it to £800. But when we actually look at this, and you know, 3 months ago she was selling yoga classes for £10 a session. You know, she's getting one client for £800. Like, it's a massive step forwards, but because she's giving a little bit of a discount, she feels like it's not working. So sometimes we need perspective shifts. Sometimes we need to see the wins, we need to see the good. But I'm going to go in today five things that I think it's really important to just kind of buckle up and be okay with. when you are doing this process. Now, the first one is your business does not have to be exciting. Get a hobby, right? The thing about building a business is it's not always going to be fun. It's not always going to be the PR stuff that you see, talking on stages and launching books and, you know, getting those big cash months. Most of the time, it's going to be the work. It's going to be the effort. It's going to be the push. If you want to make things more fun, then make them more fun outside of the business. Because most businesses that actually make money are usually pretty boring. They usually do one thing, they have one message, and they repeat it. They do it over and over and over and over and over until they reach excellence. So your business, the function of your business, does not have to be fun. We can find other ways to create fun in our lives. It doesn't have to come from the business. Now, that said, I don't want you to hate your business, obviously. It should be enjoyable and it should be interesting and it should inspire you, but it doesn't have to be exciting. And what I would say about my business is that as I've learned that actually simple scales, simple and repeatable is how we scale, perfecting things, reiterating things, refinement is how we scale. Someone said to me the other day, you know, aim to grow your business a few percent every single year. Try not to like get caught up in this kind of, you know, these big moves that we have to make every month or every year. Actually, if you're in it for the long haul, over a few years, you will find you make massive steps forwards by just refining and doing the same things but better. You know, do less but do it really well. Okay, so that's my first one. The second one is that online is not the problem, your offer is the problem. Now, someone said to me, in fact, I've heard this a few times, my clients don't want to do it online. Now, what I would say to you guys is that nobody wants to do the work at all, right? If we could all have really healthy bodies and be really fit and be really strong and not have any joint pain or tightness, or if we could all do that for free with no effort, then we would, right? So no one actually wants to do the work. The reason why people tell you they don't want to do something online is because either they don't want the outcome, you're pitching to the wrong people, or your outcome isn't strong enough. Because if you have a really strong promise, a really clear promise, tangible, with a roadmap, with steps in place, nobody cares how they do it. They care that that is on offer. They care that that is what you are, that transformation is what they're gonna get. They don't care how they do it. They don't care if they need to go to a local class. They don't care if they need to travel to Asia. They don't care how much they have to spend. Value is in the offer, is in the promise. And that means that people will travel, they will pay more, they will spend more time. People will find the time if they know the outcome is there. Now, one of my clients works in the weight loss space, and she works with very, very senior business execs. So these are people that don't have time, right? They're working 16-hour days. But one of the prerequisites of working with her is that they have to do 15,000 steps a day. Now, that's about 2 hours of walking. And when they know the outcome, when they know the promise and they're clear on why they're doing it, they will do those steps. They will find time. So remember that the way you deliver, the way you, procedure, your process isn't the problem. The offer needs to have value, significant value. And if it does have value attached to it, then people will do it online, in person, on a different continent. They will absolutely make it work if they want that outcome. Okay, so either you're pitching to the wrong people or you're not pitching strongly enough. Okay, number three, people who say they can't afford it don't see the value. A little bit like number two, you need to show people what the value of your product is. Now, if something is valuable to somebody, they will find the money. If it's not valuable or you're not portraying the value strongly enough, then things will feel expensive. Now, in most cases, if I was to say to you, is £1,000 a lot of money? Lots of you would say, yeah, it's a lot of money. £1,000, a lot of, big chunk of cash. But if I said to you, I want you to give me £1,000 and in return for that £1,000, I will give you a Lamborghini. Suddenly, £1,000 is not a lot of money. See, money is energetic. It's related to value. If you can't show people what the value is, then people will tell you they can't afford it. Equally, if they don't value the outcome. So if you're saying to someone, I'm going to help you with joint pain, and they don't have joint pain, it doesn't matter how expensive or cheap you make it, they are never going to pay for that product. But if this is someone who is struggling with the arthritic pain to the point where they can't walk more than 10 minutes, they certainly can't play their sport, they can't sleep, and you're saying, in 12 weeks, I will get rid of your joint pain for you, I will help you to overcome that pain, then they will pay for that because they will see the value. So there's two things. Again, you have to wrap your offer up in the right amount of value. You have to make sure there is a transformative promise in there, but also you need to be pitching it to the people that see that value, that want it. Now, for me, I get it, right? A Lamborghini would be nice, you know, but I don't really want a Lamborghini. So unless I knew I could sell it again, I wouldn't, the £1,000 actually would be quite a lot of money. If you said to me, give me £1,000 and I'll give you a Lamborghini, but you have to keep it for 5 years, I'd say, actually, do you know what? No, I don't want that because I don't want to pay the insurance. I don't want to have to store it. I don't want to have to look after it. I don't have to pay for those tires when they go wrong, when they puncture. I don't want to pay for all the maintenance. So actually, for me, that wouldn't be a good value proposition. But if you were to say to me, here's a Lamborghini, and if you want to just flip it and sell it, then you can, and it's a grand, I'd be like, yeah, great, okay, I love that. And that's one of the things that these charities do, I can't think of the name of them now, that give you the hat, you know, you spend £10 and you get tickets to win a house. That's one of the things they do, is that they say, look, you get the house, you also get cash to look after the house, you also get the option of selling the house if you want to, you get it fully furnished, because they take away all the objections. If you said to me, you're going to win a 7-bedroom house in the Lake District, I'd be thinking, but I've got to pay for it, I've got to furnish it, I've got to clean it, I've got to look after it, I've got to insure it. Actually, I don't really want that. But if you tell me I can flip it, great. Or if you tell me, here's money for maintenance, here you can put it on Airbnb, it's fully furnished, suddenly it has value, right? So it's all about how you are wrapping your product up into the right value proposition. So we need to be thinking about that. When someone says to you, I can't afford it right now, don't listen to that. Listen to, okay, what haven't I done a good enough job of selling? This is a failure on my part, not theirs. I clearly haven't done a good enough job of showing them the value, or they just were never the right client. So you need to double check, look back at that. Number four is, people don't want to thrive, right? This is something I see all the time. Messaging. Where are you using generic, fluffy, woolly messaging in your offers? If you say to somebody, I will help you to feel safe in your body, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything to me. If you tell me, I'm going to help you to thrive, again, what, like, how? What does that mean? If you tell me, I'm going to boost your confidence, and so what? Now, I did a session this week with a Pilates training provider. And one of the things we talked about was exactly this idea that we need to be really, really clear in exactly the wording we use. And one of the things I talked about was the power move that really good marketeers use, is that they talk about, maybe they say thriving, I want to help you to thrive, but then they follow that sentence up with the words, so that. And those words may help you to move it away from a ambiguous sentence to something that is specific. So if I say to you, I'm going to help you to thrive, you're going to go, what, financially, emotionally, in my relationships, how? But if I say to you, I'm going to help you to thrive so that you can be confident enough to go out and start dating again, then suddenly it has a little bit more context to it. Someone said to me last week, I'm going to help my members feel safe in their bodies. This was a real example. And I said, but what does that mean to them? And what it turns out that it means is that it means they feel safe in their bodies so that they are empowered to exercise whilst pregnant without endangering the baby, right? If you'd left it, which most wellness experts do, they leave it at feel safe in your bodies. If you'd left it there, it means nothing to nobody. But if you put the context in so that suddenly it becomes really clear who we're talking to, what problem we're solving, and why they should do it. Okay, so messaging, your language really matters. Okay, my final one for today is this. We are all busy. Now, this one is going to be hard to hear for some of you. I get it, right? You have a wellness business already. You're already teaching or coaching full time. You have built up a business. You have lots of clients, people coming to you all day long, every day. But you want to move into the online space. But what you're telling me is that you're too busy. You're too busy. I haven't been able to do the work, Caroline, because I'm too busy, because I've had too many clients. Now, this is really tricky balance, and I get it. I really, really do get it. And I sympathize. I empathize, right? You've done a really good job of building up a business. You've created something really powerful, really strong, and it is brilliant and people love it. But you are telling me, not the other way around, you're telling me that you want to create a digital business because you want to have more freedom. You want to have more money. You want to create a bigger impact. And then in the same breath, you're telling me, but I don't have time. Something has to give. And you have to see that there is only one way that this can work. And that is by making the sacrifice. Now, that might mean that you're working the evenings. It might mean that you're getting up earlier in the morning. It might mean that you're giving up a class a week. It might mean that you're getting rid of some of those clients that you don't love teaching. It might mean that you're taking a bit of a hit on your income for 6 months. It could mean any of those. It doesn't have to mean any of them. You can absolutely stay doing what you're doing, which is incredible. But if you want this next step, you have to go out and get it. You have to prioritize it. You have to put the effort in. It's not enough to say, I'm going to set up a digital business and wait for people to find me. And if you are a kid of the 80s like I am, you were lied to. When they said you build it and they will come, you were lied to. We were all lied to. Kevin Costner has a lot to answer for, because we are of a generation that believes that we build this stuff and people will come to us and they will find us. But in the digital landscape of wellness, that is not how it works. We need to create a rhythm in our business. We need to build an audience. We're not waiting for people to find us on Instagram. We're going to go out and find them. We're drawing people into our business. We're creating campaigns. We're making windows where opportunities for people to buy. We're incentivizing. We are using urgency. We are incorporating scarcity. We are making a landscape that is appealing to our audience, but none of that is easy, and it all is going to take something from you. That probably at this stage is going to be time. And this is a challenging moment for you, because you have that opportunity to say, okay, that's maybe not for me. And that's absolutely fine. I would never encourage anyone to get into this if they're not ready. But if you are ready and you have your North Star and you know what you want and you want this, then let's go get it. Let's stop making excuses and let's go after it. And the reason why I can say this with complete confidence is because I've been where you are. I had a wellness business. I was teaching full-time. I've had two studios. I've had to do exactly what you are doing. And I still teach a little bit. I still teach two classes a week. It was only 6 months ago that I gave up my final reformer teaching hours with my private clients. So I actually haven't been out of it for that long. But I did it gradually. I gradually dropped classes here and there. I gradually moved away from certain clients as they didn't renew, or as they took holidays, I would maybe not renew for them afterwards. I did it really gradually because I was really aware that every hour I can claw back is time that I can put into my next stage business. And I have my North Star. I have my vision. I know what I want out of it. I have my vision board. I know exactly what I need to do to achieve the life I want. I've got the plan. So now it's down to me to implement it. And the same for you guys. You have the potential. It's all there waiting for you. But you've got to commit and you've got to put the time in. And sadly, there will be days that feel really hard. There will be months where it doesn't feel like it's working. There will be a slog. There will definitely be an uphill push. It's not going to be easy, but it is going to be worth it. So I really hope that that lands in the way that I want it to, which isn't a kind of you need to be working harder, you're not trying hard enough, discipline, motivation. It's not that. It's more, you know what you want. I know what you want. I can help you get there, but you've got to meet me halfway. So there is like that. I like that analogy when people say, right, we're on a basketball court. No, not basketball, tennis court. The net is in the middle. I'm going to walk to the net, but you've got to meet me at the net. There's no use me shouting over the net to you in the background where you're saying, oh, I'll be there in a minute. I'm a bit busy at the moment. I've got too much going on. I haven't been able to do it. I can't do it. I want you to step forwards and meet me in the middle so that we together can create this next stage of your business. We are all busy. And I want you to accept that you're not special. I'm not special. We're all just going to have to do better and work harder and go for it. But happily, there is a strategy that I can help you with that's going to make that hard work actually worth it. You know, so I think the difficulty when it comes to putting hours into something like this is it's that uncertainty where you're thinking, but is this the right strategy? Is this the right way forward? And of course, there's always an element of testing in every business. But essentially, there are some strategies that we can be using, putting in place that make sure that that hard work is worth it for you and that it pays off. Okay, so a bit of a tough love episode today, which I try not to do very often because I don't think you guys need it. I think you're all like, you know, the people that follow me, you're all hard workers, you're all doers, you're all achievers. You know, you're used to putting the graft in. This is not like you're being lazy or you're not working hard enough. It's more just a balance of like, let's reprioritize a little bit because if we want the outcomes, we are going to have to just push through a little bit. So have a great day, have a great week. I will be back next week and I look forward to hearing from you. Let me know what you made of today's episode. Thanks guys. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram at Caroline Kopp and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.